This is okay, the Pacifica National Board Coordinating Committee teleconference. It's March 13th, a Thursday of 2008. I'm the Chair Pro Tem, Jack Van Aken. Thank you for listening. Our Secretary, Mary Berg, I'm going to ask her to please call the roll.
Okay, Effie Mongaza?
Here.
And Rosaline?
Here.
Bob Lederer? Okay, he was late, is that correct? Okay. Sherry Gendelman?
Here.
Sara Rondalla?
He's in.
Wendy?
He won't be here.
Wendy Shrill? Wendy, I thought I heard you.
Okay. Probably coming, not here yet.
Jack Van Aken?
Present.
Yes. Mary Berg? Present. Lonnie Hicks?
Here.
Okay, so that is six people.
And Nicole Sawaya is not present.
No, she will not be, correct. She's in transit, is that correct? Is that the latest?
Who?
That's what I...
Yeah.
Who?
Nicole
is in transit.
She's on the plane. Yeah.
Yes.
I just got an email from Dan, folks. He just fired Casey.
Yeah, that's correct. I read that email as well.
What is that? That she did what, Casey?
Dan Siegel just fired Casey Peters.
To be?
From his job as national election supervisor. He asked Dale Ratner to serve as deputy election supervisor for WBAI, and he's arranged for Caleb Kleppner of True Ballot to count the ballots in New York.
So Casey's job is extended. That's what he was. Is that correct?
Casey was fired, Mary.
Terminated.
Terminated.
Okay. Yeah, but, well, okay, but it... Yeah, okay.
You can't have both.
Yeah. Anyway. Well...
Thank you for that information, Sherry. I sent out a proposed agenda for this meeting earlier. Everybody got it in their most recent email called Final Reminder. I've added a couple of items. Comment from Chair on recording closed sessions motion, which I will just be an explanation. I'm a little concerned about the disposition of the motion we approved at the last meeting. Policy republic comment. I want to just raise this as an item for consideration between now and the Houston meeting. I'll explain when we get to it. It shouldn't take more than a couple minutes. And Lisa Davis of the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism sent me an email last night asking if we could address the issue of anti-racism training, which was proposed by them, that committee, last year in December. The National Board, as far as I can tell, did not actually approve for that to occur at the March meeting, but there was some discussion about having an anti-racism training session at the Houston meeting, so we can talk about that, number four. And then we get to draft agenda for the March 20 teleconference, 1 week from tonight. I don't know. I think we're starting from scratch on that. And then the draft agenda for the Houston meeting. Who just came on?
Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Just going over the proposed agenda.
Are we on the air yet?
Yes.
Yep.
We're on the...
Hello, people, all you thousands of people listening out there.
The people, let me just clarify. There may not be thousands of people listening, but the people that are listening matter.
Jack. There are.
You think there are? There could be. I've never noticed that on when you go to Shoutcast.
You just can't. You can't really know that.
Okay. So I have added times to these items. Such as 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes for the little stuff, anti-racism training, I'm giving 10 minutes. I anticipate we will not, I don't think we're authorized to make a final decision on that. Draft agenda for next week, I'm giving 15 minutes, and the draft agenda for the Houston meeting, preliminary draft agenda, I assume, 35 minutes. And that will have us adjourning at 9:45 Eastern time. Actually, we're starting a bit late, so maybe that would be 10 p.m. Eastern time. And I hope those time limits sound acceptable to everyone. Any suggested additions, amendments to the agenda?
Wendy?
Yeah, go ahead.
It could be like under number four for Houston meeting, but I'd like to talk about a paid note taker.
Paid note
Isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing?
I'd just like to add it to the agenda.
I mean, why would there be another person if that's what
Mary, she's just getting it to the agenda.
Okay.
So when we get to it, we'll have that discussion.
But that's all I'm going to be doing.
Well, let's not get into the merits of the item. Let's just, if that's possible. Can we agree to put that onto the agenda, and then we can have this conversation?
I don't have any objection to it.
Move approval of the agenda.
Okay,
second.
That'll be under number four, paid note taker. Okay, I hear a motion to approve the agenda. Is there any
second?
Any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none.
I just wanted to ask, since we did for if do we does it matter that we did have the contrast contract?
Oh. Yeah,
we postponed it to today. Yeah. We can postpone it again, but I mean, can we deal with it in some way?
Let me explain. That actually was not a motion that I was bringing to the committee. It was just an item that I thought had been neglected from my study of what the committee had been doing in the past, which is that the National Board had approved a contracts policy. That contracts over a certain size or of a certain type would be brought to the coordinating committee by staff for review. This policy has never been implemented. I note that it's... I don't know. I talked to Dave, and he said it had never been implemented.
Okay, I just want to know what to do with the item as a... shall we just
agree to
postpone it, or...
I would postpone indefinitely unless somebody has some sort of action they want to take on it. Just because I don't have anything to do with it except either if some of us feel like reviewing contracts, and personally I don't, we could say, well, we could request of, you know, our ED or whoever start submitting contracts to us. That's going to be a pretty sizable workload, I would imagine. I don't know how many contracts come our way. Or we could say, well, since we're not doing this policy, maybe we should rescind it, but I'm not sure that's a good idea. Somebody might change their mind and think we need to start reviewing contracts. But I raise it just so that we're aware that we have a policy on the books, and it's fallen into disuse, and maybe it's a good thing. You know, maybe it's a sleeping dog, and we ought to let it lie. I thought starting out the year it would be a good idea to look at the sorts of things that we're tasked with doing and take stock, take inventory, see if we want to do something with it. So, Mary, would you like to put it on the agenda for this meeting?
Well, it's just a matter of formality. All I care is how it's dealt with. And since Sarf put it on, and he's not here to say to take it off. And in any case, we can't just like...
No, I put it on.
It's something, no matter what the motion is, if it was on there, then we have to get rid of it in some proper manner.
Well, we can put it
in. So why don't we leave it there? It's at the end. It's unfinished business, and maybe Sarf might be on, and then if he wants to...
He said he was trying to be on, but he's pretty sick.
Yeah, I don't think Sarv will be on. I talked to him, and he said he's not going to. We can put it as number five, and we can postpone it again.
Okay. Just do something when we get to.
Contracts is the new number five. And
okay.
I'll deal with it when we get there. Okay. So, the agenda is amended. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Okay. Any
second.
Any objection to approving the amended agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Now, Mary, you sent out some minutes that we should have in our email.
Yes. Oh, didn't we have? Yes, we have that on there. That's right. Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did. Actually, twice. And I'm again today.
We have a set of minutes from the last coordinating committee meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review them? Would anyone like some time to look them over a couple minutes?
Well, me. I'd been sent over before.
Yeah, they've been sent over.
I thought they were great.
Okay. They have one approval from one. anyone else have any comments about the minutes? Any suggested amendments? Okay, I don't hear any amendments. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Is there any objection to approving the minutes of our last meeting? Hearing none, they're approved. Okay. Now, last meeting, we approved a motion on recording closed sessions for the benefit of the secretary. And after the meeting was over, I started thinking about what the purview of this committee is, and it occurs to me that I think that motion was a little beyond what the coordinating committee should be doing, and it seems to me more like a governance committee item. The reason being, let me see if I can get the bylaws up. The purview of this committee is defined in the bylaws. And it really covers the board functioning between meetings so that there's some entity that can take responsibility for the sorts of things that we've been doing. And to get into something like whether or not meetings can be recorded seems to me to be something more appropriate to the governance committee, or it could come from the floor to the PNB directly. Okay, I've almost got it here. Okay, the purview of the coordinating committee is it shall coordinate board activities between meetings, which committee shall include as members all foundation officers, etc. The coordinating committee shall not be considered an executive committee and shall not exercise any powers of the board without board approval. So I'm just a little concerned about taking on authority that we haven't been given specifically in the bylaws. So I'm thinking that maybe the thing to do would be to present this motion next week to the PNB with the recommendation that it be referred to the governance committee or some such. I wonder, does anyone have any comment about this idea?
Yeah, Mary Berg, I'd like to comment.
Mary?
In any case, that's what a committee, as far as I know, all the stuff, all the motions from all the committee are in that form. The committee is recommending to the PNB. They pass the motion. That's true of the Finance Committee, if I'm not mistaken. So that's the way it's being phrased anyway. So that's, I don't think we have to discuss it or deal with that fact because we're going to be doing that. And in fact, after tonight, after we finish, I'm going to be doing that.
Okay. Is there any other comment?
What are we talking about, recording closed sessions?
Yes, it's the motion that we approved at our last meeting. Were you present for that, Wendy?
Yeah.
I've just had second thoughts about whether that motion was within the purview of the coordinating committee, and I'm wondering if members of the board might be offended that the coordinating committee is taking on a governance committee function.
We don't have an executive session tonight, right?
No.
So there's no problem. We haven't done anything yet. We now bring it to the PNB and we ask them to approve it.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, maybe I'm being oversensitive. I just, you know, didn't want this committee to be overreaching. I mean,
we can do anything we want about our own committee, but, yeah, I think it should be on the agenda for the PNB meeting.
Okay, fine. Well, this is a motion that would apply to all PNB and committee. PMB committee executive session. That's the way it's
working. Just that's how it's done. You approve it, then you ask the PMB to approve it.
Okay, fine. If nobody else thinks that this is a problem, I'm happy to just continue on the way we have planned.
I don't recall it a problem every time.
Okay, great. Why am I getting an email from Greg Guma?
good question.
Maybe he's going to tell you something. Maybe he's listening. Wow.
It could be. Well, the people that are listening are the people that matter. So we have a good audience. All right. Next item that I want to raise, this became a concern for me when I was serving as acting chair in Newark. Public comment, my feeling about public comment is we're required legally to provide time for public comment. I don't see then how we can then be burdened with controlling what the public says when they comment. So I think it's, you know, free speech time. I'm not sure everyone agrees, and I'm not sure that our general counsel agrees. So before Houston starts and before our chair goes through the same situation I went through where members of the public get up and say things that could, you know, actually get into that elusive category of defamation, I'm wondering if we might want to request some guidelines from general counsel, or we might want to solicit some views about how board members feel public comment should be treated. Does anyone have anything to say, or Sherry, do you have any ideas about how you intend to manage the public comment session?
Are you referring to the screaming matches that occurred in Newark where there were several people who were screaming and calling Dan a liar, and he wanted to respond, and then there were other people that were calling them racist? And
I think there was an allegation of criminal misconduct on the part of somebody who was not present.
What was that? I don't even remember that.
Well,
all right.
I don't know if I want to make dig ourselves any deeper.
Right.
But, you know,
I guess the standard for me would be when people get abusive, but then that's a standard that is oftentimes different, is valued differently depending on the politics perspective analysis or tactics of the person looking at it. What we do at KPFA is board members never respond. It's tradition. It's not a law that we follow, but it's tradition that whatever the public gets up and says, that we don't respond to it. But I do think that certain accusations of criminal activity or when a speaker becomes aggressive or threatening, I didn't see anybody threatening anybody, then that behavior has to be addressed because we have to control the environment of the meeting and the public comment. Other than that, I don't mean people are going to get up and somebody stood up at the last meeting and called one of our members who's on the Labor Council a hack, a sellout, and a commie. All in one fell swoop, and, you know, he just sat there and listened.
Yeah. But there might be people that get up and start calling, you know, third parties. Say they might say somebody who's not a public figure and say that they just, you know, we have people that are in our community that aren't on the board that generate activity and draw attention to themselves. And anyway, so the point, I mean, the only solution I see, because I really don't want the chair to have to draw the line. But I know at one point John O'Malley came over, or he was signaling to me, do you want me to cut the stream or something, because it had gotten so bad. And I didn't know what he was trying to tell me, but I guessed. But I didn't. You know. I really believe in free speech, and I don't want to see any limit on it.
Right.
We might want to ask Dan if we should have a boilerplate. What is it where you simply say, you know, we're not responsible for the Pacifica Foundation is not responsible for the statements made by the public.
Well, if it's being broadcast in any of the prohibited language is broadcast, I don't know if that applies to online or not.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Oh, okay. No. Well, then, you know.
Yeah.
If I could comment.
Sure, Wendy.
You know, this has happened throughout, well, always in Pacifica. I seem to remember Mariah Gallardon being banned from all Pacifica property for actually just asking about the finances of Pacifica. We can't be the thought police and decide what it's okay for people to say in board meetings. I just don't see how we can do it. And I mean, we pride ourselves on the radio. I mean, all our stations get so many complaints all the time, and we always say, like, well, if we're not making people mad, we're not doing it right. So I just, you know, I think it's a real slippery slope, especially when we have you know, depending on which way, which board majority goes or whatever, people try to limit what other people can say. We're not responsible for what the public says. It's public comment by definition, and I really would be against limiting what they can say. I think what we do is, you know, at the beginning of public comment and any time during it, that the chair reminds the speakers to be respectful if they're starting to get a little crazy, and usually they'll do it. If you try to remove them for something they say, that gets to be really a bad scene. That's happened to us several times at KPFT, and it's basically they just kind of go, well, yeah, come on, throw me out. And that gets even uglier. So you got to be prepared to back that up if you say it. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Wendy. Yeah, and I would like to reinforce support what Sherry said about, you know, the public comes up and they can say we're all these horrible things. And if we try to respond, you know, that may seem like fairness, but the truth is in responding, we're cutting into their time. And we're also providing an uneven playing field in the sense that we have, the rules of, the rules of order is that the public gets to comment during a certain period of time. So why should we interfere and start responding? And
actually, it's not only that. It's that if the board says something, it is representing the Pacifica Foundation. The public is not, but the board is. So,
Rayburg, can I get Mary? With that? Yeah, there is something in Roberts, much as I hate that whole thing, but there is. I'm trying to find it here. But there are procedures that, you know, we could deal with where if the public is running amok, it makes them sure that nobody else is, you know, none of the board is coming, is replying. But one possibility is to have a 10-minute recess and simply clear the room for that time.
Oh boy.
That might be shorter. I'm just saying that's one possibility while I'm cheering in here. I think that is something in the Roberts rules, but I haven't found it. I haven't found it this moment. When I find it, I'll.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like everybody's pretty comfortable with just continuing on as we're doing.
Yeah. Lonnie here.
Move the agenda.
Lonnie, you have a comment?
Well, it's sort of a head-scratching problem, but one area of concern might be that if you have a member of the public making an allegation that felony or crime.
Oh. Yeah, right.
And the board has sort of gained the knowledge that way. Does the board have any responsibility to act or investigate? Ambrose, what do you think? Is there any potential liability, especially on a public call?
Well,
I think an exaggerated person.
I don't think no liability on the part of the board. The board can always deal with that later.
Okay.
Was there somebody trying to speak, or was that the side noise?
I just wanted an example of somebody committing a felony, did you say, or alleging that someone else was.
Yeah, let's take a really exaggerated example. Person A steps up to the microphone and says that a member of the board has committed a murder. Let's take a really wild.
Oh, well, they accuse us of that all the time.
Oh.
So that's not a problem.
Well, okay, that's that. Never mind.
Okay.
Moving the agenda.
Okay.
Point of information, what have we... What is the result that came? What is the outcome of this? What have we determined to do about this, or not, or what?
Nothing.
The status quo. So I think that's fine.
Which means?
Which means that
public speech.
Yeah. The chair will exercise discretion during public comment, probably with restraint.
Yeah, you can find the thing. I just found the thing in the rules we just referred to.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff anyway,
yeah.
But we could have a timeout.
Okay.
Chair will exercise discretion. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
That really means it's a meaningless phrase, but it sounds good. All right, number four, as I mentioned earlier, the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism recommended in December that there be an anti-racism session at the next P&B in-person meeting, which would have been January. There was discussion of postponing it until the March meeting for various reasons. We're now in March. I don't find any evidence that the National Board actually approved this, and it would require a financial impact, which Lisa Davis promises the committee will provide soon, but not quite yet. Let's see if I can dig up her email. In December 07, the committee to investigate proposed that the National Board have more anti-racism training. There were two workshops in 06, and the board agreed that this should be done in March 08. Previous training was held for about 5 hours, and we estimate that we will need at least that much time again. The committee to investigate will be meeting after the coordinating committee meets. I do not as of yet have a recommendation for trainers from the committee, but a recommendation will be forthcoming that will also include costs. She gives a rough estimate, which I think I should read over the web stream. But anyway, I can send it out to everybody. I have to go over to my other computer, leave my lovely patio.
This is a recent communication?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think the question is, do we want to consider this when we work on the Houston agenda, or want to take any action on this?
Mary Berg, I'll go.
Mary Gendelman.
Okay, Mary, go ahead.
We have traditionally had training of this sort, and I think we should at least entertain a thought of doing it rather than just not doing it. We were asked to consider it for the agenda. The agendas are, you know, once again, like everything else, the PNB is going to decide on this agenda, but I think that we should recommend it because it's been more or less an ongoing issue for years, and it is a problem in this organization that has led to real problems aside from the lawsuit. So that's my, I'm going to speak in favor of having it on.
Okay,
I guess I'm going to piggyback onto some of the comments that you made, Jack. I think that we do need a cost analysis. We're about to be hit with a bucket of cold water in terms of the real, in terms of the finances of the network. And I believe, I don't know, but I believe and I would propose that a large part of the Houston meeting be addressed by the board towards looking at the crisis and developing responses to it, or approving responses that others might submit to deal with our finances. And I know two other things that I want to say are that we do have our HR person on board now, Dominga. And certainly for the staff and for the HR issues that the foundation faces, including, you know, the huge number of complaints and allegations of harassment, et cetera, that I would like Dominga included in some sense in the decision-making process about whatever we finally adopt, because that's part of her duties in terms of overseeing the appropriate administration of the the national office and the individual stations. And lastly, I know that Houston did have recently did go through this type of training, and I thought that it might be appropriate for some members of the Houston board, PND, and or the Houston station to share with the PND how their training was conducted and how they evaluated as well.
Okay. I'd like to make a comment. I think that Never having been through anti-racism training, I can't really speak on its benefits. I think that we have some very serious issues and some very serious divisions on the board that not everybody is likely to see. And I think I've gone from a period of not really seeing it to suddenly understanding that it's a very serious issue within the organizational structure. For that reason, I think that, you know, this might be a good way to begin to address that, although I know coming on and not having been through the two prior sessions, maybe beginning is the wrong word, but for me it would be a beginning. To get back to public comment, when I was acting chair and Lisa, we were getting ready to do the 2-hour report from the committee to investigate that had been that had been agreed to and promised at that in the December meeting for the January meeting. As we were coming back from break, Lisa said, "Well, you know, I think we could incorporate public comment into the discussion." And I just thought, "Well, what a great idea!" I think not to pick on New York, but not to be regional about this, but I think in L.A. it would have been no big deal. Just, well, let's, you know, incorporate this public comment session into our discussion about racism, and if you really want to speak your own mind, you could do it. As soon as I announced that, a whole section of the public descended upon me in a state of rage. That they did not want it. They wanted to talk about finances. They didn't want to talk about racism, and it was pretty clear that this really wasn't going to work. But I think that's just an example of what a lightning on this issue is, and I don't know how to begin to address it without opening my communication. Anyway, I'm making a speech, which I generally don't do. I generally dread doing. The cost, I think, these teleconferences cost money, and I think if we could learn to cut some hours off of these many, many long teleconferences, we could probably take that board expense and put it into a budget item for board training in general, which could include an ongoing program for anti-racism and anti-homophobia and all sorts of harassment, including sexual harassment training, and especially, I think, board training. I think we probably will have universal consensus that's necessary. So I think we need to think seriously about working this, into the Houston agenda if we can. That's my position. And I don't know what we can actually do with it now as a coordinating committee, since beyond setting a proposed agenda, we can't authorize the funding for it.
This is Wendy.
Wendy.
Do I sound, I'm using this headset, do I sound distorted?
Yes.
A little bit.
Is it better now?
It's not clear.
It's distortion. Maybe if
okay, hold on, hold on.
Lower?
Yeah.
Or
I'll just whip it out of there. Okay.
There.
That's better. Okay.
That's better.
If you play a guitar good. Through it, it'll sound good.
I know, huh? Okay. Something happened, anyway. So, look, you know, we just had a recent anti-racism training in Houston, and it was excellent. It was 2 days. We invited all the staff, all the programmers, 200 programmers, all the board, and anybody else who wanted to come. And the turnout, you know, we had 40 people, I think, at one time, and it was excellent. We found that those of us who stayed thought it was really, really good. What I think I'm not against anti-racism training. What I am going to say, though, is that right now I'm a little concerned about Sherry's comment that we're about to be hit with a bucket of cold water about the finances at Pacifica. I don't know what's going on. I think if I don't know, a lot of the rest of the board doesn't know what's going on. I think that we have a brand new ED that we really need to spend some time strategizing with and bringing up to speed and learning about what's going on with everything. And I just don't see how we can spend 5 hours at this particular meeting training ourselves. that is kind of what it will look like to the rest of the network. I get it, you know, that if the PNB is more aware and more sensitive to things, that could somehow bubble out. But right now I don't know that the PNB is having a big effect on the rest of the world. Our biggest strength is what goes out over the radio, and maybe we can now that we have a new ED and we get her on our side, we can kind of strategize on what is going to end up going out over the radio. But really, I think that this time needs to be spent with her and finding out if we have enough money to continue our network to bring all this great stuff to the world. We can't do it. I'm not going to keep going on. I'm just going to say that it's unusual for one of the PNB committees to bring something to another PNB committee and ask them to deal with it without having the full board approve it first and then send it to the coordinating committee and say, you know, work this into our next agenda.
No, your point is well taken, Wendy. I think it was just because we are involved in setting the agenda and because it has to be agendized. I mean, I remember when I was trying to schedule an STV, you know, voting seminar, you couldn't try to get people aware of it soon enough, and we still had to fight at the last minute to get that onto the agenda. So I really think that it's slightly irregular, but it's really, I think, pretty innocent to notify the appropriate body. There hasn't been a request that we take any certain action, and I think it wouldn't be appropriate without first getting the report from the committee and exactly what they're proposing. So I think we can move the agenda unless there's a motion to somehow take action on this.
Well, I would just like to go on record as saying that unless it becomes is a priority as manifest by the application of organizational resources, then there's not any point in having such a committee. In fact, it becomes an insult, certainly to people of color and to an organization which has lost funding for failure to meet diversity requirements. It seems to me to be a necessity. So I don't know what the procedural approach is, but if we're going to be true to the Pacifica mission and financial viability of the network, then we need to figure out what the proper procedure is and make sure it happens, even if it's no more than allocating enough time in the agenda to be able to begin to make it a structural part, using the Jack's suggestion as a starting point.
Okay.
I would agree that we don't have 5 hours unless we're going to extend the meeting another day, but we also can't afford to, and I would vigorously object to just ignoring it on the theory that we don't have time or we don't have money.
This is Bob.
Oh, Bob, you joined us.
Yeah. Hi, I'm sorry. Hey. I had a staff meeting at the station. I agree with Afia's perspective on the sort of fundamental commitment to the central role of this type of training in all of our work. Not to mention that this was, Lisa's email to us recalls, this was a board agreement to happen at the March meeting. So I think we should tonight, in the absence of a detailed proposal, just recommend that in fact this earlier board motion be implemented by having some kind of training on Friday, the details of which can follow after the committee, you know, gives us a more specific proposal. But I just think these issues continually come up around the network, and it's just as much a part of guiding our governance role as learning about finances or about legality or personnel or any of the other things we're doing. It's just as central. So I think we need to follow through.
Can you? When was the board motion?
you know, I can't remember exactly. I believe it was in the planning for the January meeting that originally the Racism and Sexism Committee had proposed that this training occur at the January meeting, but then they, you know, they kind of yielded to the changing circumstances and other priorities that were...
I think it was the coordinating committee that talked about it.
Could be.
Oh. I don't think it was the PN2.
Yeah. Just Bob, you came on late. I did try to find where the board had approved it. Oh, incidentally, yeah, there are minutes missing from something like October through January for that whole period. I listened to some of the audio to try to see if there was a motion. I can't prove a negative, so I don't know that there wasn't, but there was a discussion about this that suggested moving it to the March meeting, and then there didn't seem to be a vote. So not to quibble about whether or not it's been approved, but I think there's a question about it, whether it was or not. But anyway, the point is, do we have a motion? Are we going to take some action now? Are we going to recommend or support the idea of anti-racism training or make a stronger statement now, or should we move the agenda?
Well, I would move only that it be considered at the telephone meeting on the 20th and put on that agenda.
Oh, I would like to make a substitute motion that we do make, to move that we do recommend this included in the in-person meeting April 11th.
Okay. We can dispose of the substitute first. Is there any discussion on Mary's substitute motion that we recommend that there be anti-racism training at the April meeting?
Well, I have a question.
Okay, Bob.
Since I came in late, is what we're going to do now kind of go through and outline a rough proposal for the agenda of the entire weekend, or how are we proceeding during this next agenda item tonight?
Okay, the next agenda item is next week's teleconference agenda, the drafting that agenda. So far, we are starting from scratch, and then the subsequent agenda item, for which I have 35 minutes allotted, would be to draw up an outline for the Houston meeting for the entire weekend. So at that point, we could take up allotments of time for something such as anti-racism training.
Okay, so perhaps we could just postpone this until we get to that agenda item. A few minutes.
Well, there's a motion and a substitute motion, so.
We could make a recommendation to the PNB, or which is Mary's motion, or we could include it in the agenda, but regardless, we have to dispose of Mary's motion. So we can probably do both. Depends on how the motions go. So, Mary, your motion is we recommend anti-racism training be included in the Houston PNB meeting.
Yes, and I didn't say how much time. So the motion is that we recommend that a portion of the meeting be set for racism, sexism training session.
Okay.
With the amount to be determined and the
day. Okay. Just to be, I hate to be nitpicky, but so far the proposal has only been for anti-racism training. Now, I don't know. Just get our wording correct.
Pardon?
So far as I know, the proposal is for anti-racism training, but not necessarily anti-racism training.
Could you either wait a minute or someone could...
Yeah, I don't know. There's some interference. Okay. So far as I know, it's anti-racism training, and there haven't been any other isms or phobias included.
You guys, this is Wendy. That was me. Did you hear me screaming at my kids?
No.
Good. Okay, I'm muting again.
No, we just heard interference.
I'm muting again.
Okay. No, I just want to get your motion straight, Mary. We recommend inclusion of anti-racism training.
Yes.
Okay. Coordinating committee recommends anti-racism training in the Houston PNB meeting.
That some portion of the meeting. to that such a thing happen.
Okay.
I'd like to make an amendment.
With the time and the date to be determined.
Okay. Wendy, you can amend it, but no amendments after that. What's your amendment, please?
If financially feasible.
Okay, if financially feasible, is there any discussion of Wendy's amendment?
This is Bob.
That would be fine if I would not object.
Mary.
If you want to tack it on.
Okay, Mary, I called on Bob, but thank you. Bob?
Yeah, well, of course, every motion that might have money attached is supposed to have a financial impact statement, so that's kind of a given, but to put the kind of language, if financially feasible, this is all a judgment call. There's already a budget item called training. I believe it's called board training. So, and I know that it's well more than, we went through this in 2005 when we did this last time. That item is far more than what it would cost to do one session, even if we did even 5 hours. So the question is a policy or a judgment by the board as to whether it wants to.
Yes.
So it's not an if it's feasible or if the funds are available, but if the board wants to spend them on this.
Okay.
So I guess I would oppose the amendment given that there's an automatic financial impact statement anyway.
Okay.
Can I just have a quick comment?
Okay, Wendy, your comment.
Pacifica has been having trouble paying FSRN, so I think it's important to leave that in there.
Okay. I think we can go. We've had a pro and a con. If everybody has weighed in, we can just go to a vote on Wendy's amendment, which is to add the words, if financially feasible, to Mary's substitute motion. I assume we're going to have pros and yeses and nos, so Mary, why don't you call the roll on this?
Okay. Effie Glaza?
This is on Wendy's motion, Wendy's amendment? No.
Okay. Ambrose Lane?
No.
Bob Lederer?
No.
Sherry Gendelman?
Yes.
Sar Vandala is absent, I gather. Okay, Wendy Schrill?
Yes.
Jack Bennett? You're not voting on this, right?
I'm going to vote. I'll vote no.
Okay. Mary Berg votes no. Lonnie Hicks?
Oh, no.
Okay, so I have 6 no and 2 yes.
Okay, so the amendment fails, so we go back to Mary's motion recommending inclusion of anti-racism training in some portion of the Houston agenda. Can we go to a vote on this? Okay, Mary, could you call the roll?
Okay. Well, I'll start the other way this time. Mary Berg votes yes. Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Wendy Schrill?
No.
Sherry Gendelman?
I have to vote no without the financial cast on it.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Effie Wangasa?
Yes.
Okay, we again have 2 yes.
And did you
6
call
no.
Did you call Lonnie, Mary?
I'm sorry. 6 yes and 2 no's the other way around. I'm sorry.
Maybe I missed it.
Did you call Lonnie?
I'm sorry. I thought I heard him, but I don't think I... Okay, Lonnie.
How do you vote?
how do you vote?
Lonnie, I thought I had you say
Lonnie,
yes.
Lonnie, there.
Oh, I guess. Yes, I vote yes.
Okay. Sorry if I wasn't clear. That's what I had thought,
Okay, so the substitute motion carries, which is now the main motion, technically we're required to call a vote on it. Is everyone going to vote the same, in which case we can skip the formality?
Well, the main motion is my motion.
No, it's now become the main motion.
Mary's motion has now become the main motion. So technically we have to now vote on it as the main motion. Although it's redundant and typically...
Well, let's just do it.
Okay, Mary, call the roll on the main motion.
Okay. vote on making the substitute motion, the main motion.
No, we're voting on it as the main motion.
Yeah.
Good. Go ahead.
Which is the same thing we just voted on, right?
Yes, it's
the
same.
Yeah, I know it.
Yes.
Okay, only once. Ambrose Lane.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Sherry Gendelman.
No.
Oh, Wendy Schrell.
No.
Jack Van Aken.
Yes.
Mary Berg. Yes. Lonnie Hicks.
Yes.
Okay, so it's the same. And six okay. Yes, two no.
Okay, so we can move the agenda now to next week's, the Thursday, March 20th, PMB teleconference agenda. I know we have an item from the Coordinating Committee on Direct Inspections and also an item from the recordings of executive sessions. Does anyone know of any other motions pending to come out of committee that could be dealt with next Thursday?
Well, we had this is Sherry.
Yeah.
We had the issue of language around the director's inspection of documents.
Yeah. But we passed a motion out of this committee on a scheduling proposal. Do we have another issue with director's inspections?
No, just that one. This committee passed it to the PNB, though, correct?
Right, yeah, and we'll bring it to the PNB Thursday.
Okay, great. That's...
So that would be the coordinating committee report. We have any other committees that are going to have reports that anyone knows of or motions to bring to the board?
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
It's unclear the pro tem chair of the elections committee, and it's unclear where the WBAI elections will be at that time and whether any motions will be still relevant, but I think we should reserve time on the agenda in case there's still a need to hear some of the proposals from the elections committee that, you know, that they may have been moot by then or they may not be.
Okay, so report from elections committee.
Right. If needed.
Yeah, if needed?
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to imagine it won't be needed.
And then one other thing that's not from any committee, but I know there's some directors that want to discuss the question of directors recording conversations with management without the knowledge or consent of management.
Okay.
So this is Wendy.
But let me just, before I call on you, Wendy, let me just clarify from Bob. So you're expecting there might be a motion from before on the recording of staff without knowledge or consent?
Yep. Right.
Okay, not from any committee. Okay.
Right.
Wendy, go ahead.
It would be up to those members to bring it up themselves and ask the chair of the PNB to put it on the agenda. It wouldn't come through the coordinating committee. It's not appropriate for us to talk about.
Really? But don't.
Anybody can add an item to the agenda. Well, I guess actually they have to do it today, huh?
Well, we're just drawing up a preliminary draft agenda, which can be revised prior to the meeting. Can be brought in a just freshly revised form a week from tonight.
Any member can bring an item to the agenda. They don't have to go through the coordinating committee. Is Bob putting it on the agenda and asking the coordinating committee to vote on it?
As an agenda item? Ultimately, I assume that we'll, you know, approve some sort of agenda, and if this becomes a contentious item, we could...
Jack?
Yes?
It's not the job of the coordinating committee to determine the agenda of the meeting next week. It's...
not?
No, that's the chair's job, and it's members of the PNB can submit items at any time. I mean, yes, of course, if we have one that the committee votes on, we can put it on the agenda. You know, normally what we've done, the coordinating committee deals with the agenda items for the in-person PNB meetings. Now, I know it's not
for the teleconference? Well,
no, it hasn't been done that way before. I mean, I guess it could be, but...
Let me just ask the chair, would you appreciate input from the coordinating committee?
Yes, they would. I would like input from the coordinating committee for setting the agenda, because I don't want to be viewed as being dictatorial or having the full responsibility, either perspective, of setting the agenda. So people on the coordinating committee also have their fingers, their minds, their vision in other committees, and it's helpful then to know what's on the front burner and what's on the back burner.
Yeah. I'll just say that at Kay, a couple of years ago, we started having the governance committee work with the chair to develop the agenda. And there were some people who thought, ooh, that's, you know, you're taking all this power. But actually what it does is it helps give the chair a sense of what's, you know, going to fly or be acceptable. And generally, you know, the agenda is not viewed as this, you know, scary thing full of surprises and booby traps. I think it works. I haven't heard any complaints about it. So I feel comfortable going this route. You know, I'm not surprised that there would be an objection.
Well, look, can I go a little farther?
Sure.
I'm not saying that this committee can't and shouldn't come up with items for the any kind of teleconference agenda, but Robert's Rules talks about special meetings, which is what these teleconferences are. It talks about any member being able to add items to the agenda on a special meeting. They have to do it 7 days in advance. That's already kind of a burden, and we don't want to say that. I mean, if we are we saying now that there's going to be a policy that says only items that go through the coordinating committee can be on PNB meetings? Because I think you're going to end. That's going to be a problem. First of all, it makes it so that the coordinating committee has to meet before every PNB meeting, which I don't know how it's going to work this year, but the last couple of years we've had an awful lot of PNB meetings. And there's also the thing that says any three directors can bring a motion to at any time, even without the chair. I don't think you want to put that many parameters on just what's going to be on an agenda of the PNB. It'll be a problem.
All right, let me clarify.
Mary Berg, can I speak
to
that?
Let me just clarify first. I'm unaware of any policy or proposed policy or any idea floating around seriously in anyone's head about having a policy that motions have to come through the coordinating committee to be placed on the agenda. So let's just lay that to rest. I think that the purpose of this function is just to assist the chair and not to give the chair instructions as to what should be done. I mean, it's a service. Okay, Mary, go ahead.
Yeah, most of those, we did have a tremendous amount of meetings last year, but most of them were the same meeting. It was just a continuation of the adjourned meeting, and they were executive sessions, so it wouldn't involve. The agenda is as it was. We just didn't finish. So, and I think that normally this is not an onerous sort of a. It's not like there'd be meetings and meetings and meetings, because many of the things on the agendas are already a given. It's all the unfinished business that we didn't finish in, you know, the previous agenda and so forth. So the number of things for the coordinating committee to be doing, I think, are relatively few. It's not that they're having, it's not like they're doing tremendous meetings. I think it seems like a good idea to my idea. And it does correspond with the functions that I see having looked at about this committee. And I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it will cause any problem.
Okay. Any other comments on the appropriateness of conducting business as we had begun?
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think one aspect of what Wendy is saying is worth considering, which is I think it would be more appropriate as far as the relationship in the bylaws and Robert's Rules if we didn't see it as this committee will take formal votes on a draft agenda, and then the chair is bound to give notice of that draft agenda, you know, 7 days, but rather that we're giving feedback and suggestions, and then the chair can take those into account. But it's Wendy's correct that any board member has the right to approach the chair directly and put something on the agenda. So if this committee, for instance, rejected an item, that wouldn't mean anything, because that member could just go directly to the chair anyway. So I don't think we should see it as taking formal votes, but just as giving suggestions.
Well, maybe we can finesse this by not taking a vote at the end of this process. I don't know what it will represent. I just guess sort of a discussion.